L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I told you before we went to break that we're going to be out at St. Arnold Brewing to ring in the start of the baseball season. It's all presented by Huntington Bank. You can enjoy great beer, great food, and watch game one of 162 with ESPN 97.5. So you want to get out there at 10. While John Lance will get the broadcast day started, you want to be out there at 10 for the opening day broadcast and watch the games. Hang out with us. And, of course, as baseball really gets going, watch the games at St. Arnold Brewing. So we'll do that on Thursday. And once again, brought to you by Huntington Bank. So, I don't know how many years ago now it was, but do we all remember where celebrities had to tell us they're doing an ad on social media, whether through a hashtag or just me and vitamin water are combining to do this? They had to announce it.
Or like hashtag vitamin water partner.
Yeah, they couldn't just take a picture of vitamin water, pretend like they weren't getting paid for it. Why don't we have that rule for draft season? Like, particularly for draft season, but maybe overall, when one pundit starts talking about a player, we should know if there's a connection. The example going on right now is Dan Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky is big upping Ty Simpson, the Alabama quarterback who didn't want to transfer anyplace else and entered the NFL draft because he wanted to keep his legacy clean in Alabama. Like, you need cornerbacks to be diluted and forget about things. I'm not sure it works for quarterbacks, but whatever legacy he thought he was preserving, he has done that by not transferring, and now he might be a first-round pick. Dan Orlovsky is certainly trying to help him get there. Dan Orlovsky said he's the best quarterback in this draft, which has gotten pushback from nearly everyone, except for one person, and maybe we know why now. But we need a disclaimer, particularly during this part of the year. I want to know who that pundit is represented by and who is representing the player he's talking about. So, like, on the Cryon, the lower third, when Dan Orlovsky's hyping up Ty Simpson, I should be told represented by CAA. Both guys, the subject and the pundit, are represented by the same agency. So I know, or at least I can make a determination, whether I believe this is an honest assessment or something being pushed by an agency. That's all. Like, Ryan Clark is a big example. Mulligetta, he was defending Deshaun Watson. We know at halftime of the Patriots game in the playoffs, he was talking, no, we're not pulling CJ. He's got to go out there and prove it. They're represented by the same people. Dan Orlovsky, Ty Simpson, represented by the same people. You know, Dan Orlovsky put the quote out there, best quarterback in the draft. It was grabbed by GetUp. They put it out there, and someone quote tweeted them and said, I'm hearing the same things around in the NFL. Former GM Mike Tannenbaum. Who is he represented by? CAA. I need hashtag represented by the same agency before I take any of this into account and believe it or don't.
Just hashtag CAA family.
Just tell me. The federal government mandates celebrities to do it. I need some governing body, the FCC, to get in there and tell me or force those pundits to be open about who they represent because I need to know if this is honest or is there some ulterior motive to be hyping up a guy most people believe is a mid to late first rounder.
They should wear a pin, like on their suit lapel or something, where it's just like, this person is bought and paid for by CAA. Like, this is just like the words that are coming out of this man's mouth are CAA's words.
Even if this is all his real opinion, he believes that, look, I'm not a giant fan of Fernando Mendoza. I don't know that Ty Simpson's a better draft prospect than him, though. I could have my opinion on Fernando Mendoza and still believe he's a better draft prospect than Ty Simpson. But even if Dan Orlovsky believes what he's saying is true because he's watched the tape, I still would like to go in with full knowledge that there's a connection there and then be allowed to make my determination, because it gets a little stinky. It's a little nasty when stuff like this, when it's a dissenting opinion, which you're allowed to have, but you're so forceful in that opinion that now people have to start looking at you like, are you – like, you could be right. You could be the one person, or now with Mike Tannenbaum, the two people who are clearly feeling like Ty Simpson's the better quarterback. You could be right about it, but when it's so against the grain and maybe hyping up Ty Simpson helps his draft status, and that's the one thing you could say, is that what Dan Orlovsky's saying, is that going to help Ty Simpson in the NFL rooms? Like, in the war room, Dan Orlovsky giving him the stamp, or anyone. Dan Orlovsky, obviously, not a great NFL quarterback. You can use that to trash his opinion. I'm not doing that. Let's throw out Dan Orlovsky. Someone you respect. Whatever in your head is someone you respect and their opinion, is that really going to change the opinion of an NFL war room? I would doubt it. But as far as how you're trying to bring engagement to your shows or to your clips, I need some warning. I need to know. Like, I don't know who's next. If I'm told Arvell Reese is the best prospect in a generation as an edge rusher, and Dan Graziano says it, I would like to know who's Dan Graziano's represented by and who Arvell Reese is represented by before I give it any real credence. So if you're seeing that out there, just take it into account. You can believe Dan Orlovsky's being truthful and being honest and upfront. But if you're into conspiracies, it feels a little odd that he's so gung-ho on Ty Simpson, who was flat out bad at the end of the season.
Yeah. I'm looking at the CAA website.
Yeah.
For the people they represent. It's a lot of.
They represent a lot of.
Yeah. Like Malika Andrews, Mike Greenberg.
A lot of ESPN guys.
Yeah.
So, well, Malika Andrews, it'll be unlikely she's talking about Ty Simpson at any point.
Yeah.
But if some reason I see a clip of Ty Simpson on her timeline, on her page, and she's like, man, I mean, I hadn't really been able to look at the tape yet because I'm full in on basketball, but with the draft coming, I want to be updated on who's available. And Ty Simpson's pretty good, guys, isn't he?
Or Darren Peterson signs with CAA, and it's like, you know, it was a more complex situation than we were led to believe at Kansas.
Yeah, let's not jump to any conclusions.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of ways that this could
We'll see who becomes a preemptive favorite, at least for the media, for the number one overall pick. We'll see who starts to push back on that by pushing someone else for it as far as basketball is concerned. And then we can start to look at who's represented by who. Yeah. I think that's the game we got to play going forward.
Also, if Alfonso Ribeiro ever says anything about Ty Simpson, just know he is also represented
if
by CAA.
If Carlton from Fresh Prince winds up talking about the draft and really, that's what you do. You don't be obvious about it. Of course, Dan Orlovsky's in that sports media space where he's going to have an opinion. Yeah. But if you want to really push the Ty Simpson brand forward, you have random people start talking about the Alabama quarterback.
You have Bryce Dallas Howard.
Director, actor, Bryce Dallas Howard. If Ty Simpson winds up in one of her movies or TV shows. Yeah. Ty Simpson. Even if he gets eaten by a raptor, if he winds up, then we know.
As long as Reuben Bain stays away from the Jurassic Park.
Well, he can't be in any dinosaur things. The arms are – the jokes just write themselves. He can't be in any dinosaur stuff. And Reuben Bain, one of the members of the Adidas team, that was announced. Fernando Mendoza, a couple of other Indiana players, as you might expect, and Reuben Bain, the most prominent of the Miami players whose apparel contract is with Adidas. is one of those people too. Arvel Reese, Ohio State. So it's not just whoever you play for. If your apparel agreement was with that brand, then they get you. Arvel Reese, a Nike guy, Ohio State, signs with Adidas too. So some of that stuff is going to be out there in your face with the draft coming up. But yeah, most importantly, I need a disclaimer. That's all.
Keith Urban, Ken Jeong, Kerry Washington.
You're just laughing at guys who could potentially be hyping up Ty Simpson.
Kirby Smart. Those are the four straight names.
I don't know that Kirby would even go that far. Loyalty to CAA only goes so far.
If they're 10-2 and they need to make the college football playoff, then Ty Simpson becomes a way better quarterback.
Yeah, either you lose to Ty Simpson or you beat Alabama with Ty Simpson, then you hype him up.
He doesn't need to in the offseason.
Yeah, Georgia 10-2 won't have to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he'll leave that for Natalie Portman to do.
I need all these tie-ins. The Dan Orlovsky stuff is in my face, but I need the funnier way for this to go where randomly Natalie Portman, I don't know what she's got going on next. She's like a co-owner of LAFC, or at least that was what she was doing before. That's the sports tie-in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big proponent of women's sports, I also love college football. Mm-hmm. You know who's great? That quarterback at Alabama. What's his name again? I think it's Ty Simpson.
Ty Simpson.
Oh, yeah, it's Ty Simpson.
Or, you know, in a flashback episode, Sterling K. Brown could talk about his love of Ty Simpson.
Now, he's a St. Louis guy, but as a character,
yeah,
he could talk about Bama football. Yeah. And, man, one of my biggest disappointments was not getting to see Ty Simpson senior year because the world ended.
Uh-huh.
Well, sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Sterling K. Brown.
We'll see about that.
Him and the Chainsmokers.
Well, we're finding ways to get Ty Simpson everywhere. Chris, I see you. You want to talk Rockets. We'll get to them and you when we come back. If you want to follow Chris, 713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So the conversation, even after last night's game, where the Rockets are down by 20 in the first quarter to the Bulls and eventually lose, is should Reed Shepard be starting? Now, the alternative is Tari Eason, who can't make a shot, so it's very easy to say, hey, let's start Reed. They were 10-2 going in, 10-3, and the numbers for Reed Shepard are good. But we'll get to Chris, and then we're going to play some sound from Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans with some numbers that would suggest perhaps slow down if you're gung-ho on Reed Shepard being a part of the starting lineup going forward. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, just watching the game last night, it just felt completely different than last year. Like, I remember last year they had a saying, you know, with those group of guys with Green and Dylan Brooks, it was like, if not you tonight, then me. But it's always going to be us. Like, I'm just not getting that same, you know, feeling of camaraderie from this team. It sucks because it just felt like Green was buying into Ime. You know, when Green wasn't doing good on defense, you know, Ime was sitting down in the fourth, and Ime had that forceful hand to just, you know, impetuate defense. And it showed with the way that we played, and it just doesn't feel that same way. And, of course, he's not going to do anything about sitting Shingun or, you know, KD in the fourth. Like, you know, it's just different. And then also, I just feel like whenever, you know, depending on how this year turns out with the addition of Fred coming back next year, and it's going to be Fred, Amin, Shedun, if we have the same lineup, and KD and Smith, I just feel like it'll be a huge push for Reed getting that Sixth Man of the Year award next year, potentially. And I'll hang up a list. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. Your opinion on it feeling different is similar to what others have felt about watching the team play. I don't know if that's because the expectations have risen, that you're not just along for this ride of this team plowing forward to the two seed like they were last year in a surprise, or just the overall play from night to night has led people to feel like this isn't the same vibes. I think it's a combination of all these things where you expect to be better, you think you have a chance to win a title, and the Rockets go about it differently. You don't have Jalen. You don't have Dylan Brooks. You're not as dogged defensively as you once were. And you're hyper-dependent on Kevin Durant knocking down shots late, which is what he was brought in for. I've said before, I don't believe he thought it would be so much on his plate in the regular season. I believe the Rockets acquired him to show up in the big moments in the playoffs, to be a guy who could close out games and, of course, series in moments when they were looking for a guy to do it. There's been a lot put on him to beat the Bulls on a Monday night and other teams who aren't as good as them. No way they foresaw some of the difficulties they would have generating offense on a consistent basis. And, of course, you can throw in there, it would be different without if Fred was there. Maybe. Kevin Durant thought he would have a point guard, too. So those are all things that rightfully you can point to. But at this point, when you're 70-plus games in, it won't matter in the playoffs. No one's really going to care if Fred's not there if you get knocked down the first round. It'll be a way to excuse an embarrassing exit, but it really won't matter if that's the way it goes. Let's get to this, talking about Reed Sheppard. Should he start? Shouldn't he start? We heard Chris say next year he should be in line for sixth man of the year. Well, these are some of the numbers for Reed Sheppard in his 12 games starting. And that is before last night. Over 17 points per game, shooting over 41% from three at over eight attempts. He and the Rockets, at least the Rockets' win-loss record was good and still is. 10-3 now after the loss yesterday, and his numbers are up there. He looks like the difference. Put Reed in the starting lineup. Those are the raw numbers. Let's hear from Dave Hardesty, who dug into how the lineup actually plays together when they're on the floor at the same time.
This lineup in the last 3 days, yes, they're 2-1. They won two of those games. The starting lineup is a negative 23.1 net rating on the season, and it's played a lot of minutes by now. It's negative 10.7. Of the three starting lineups that they've done, which is your core four, let's call them, your starting four, right? Jabari, Şengün, KD, and Amen. Those four have pretty much started regardless. They've had Okogie with them, they've had Tari with them, and they've had Reed with them. And Reed lineup with Şengün and those other three is by far the worst starting lineup that they have as far as how it produces. And yet we have people saying Ime Udoka is a total idiot if he doesn't start this.
So those are another set of numbers that tell you that perhaps Reed Sheppard starting and them winning games is merely a coincidence. Because when he's on the floor, despite their raw numbers, the team itself is not great or even good when those five are together. So I don't know if that's coincidence. It's only 13 games now. But he's going over the course of the season where they're just playing minutes together. Forget about just starting. He's talking about minutes together on the floor together, and the numbers aren't good.
Yeah,
with those
minus
five.
Minus 10 is like one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. And yet, we are to believe that he needs to start, or this team isn't reaching their full potential.
I actually don't understand how this team is going to be a top six seed.
It's only because they have to be, because the Suns aren't going to win enough games. If the Suns were healthy, who knows what would happen? Maybe they would fall out of the sixth seed.
How many wins do the Rockets have? Are they
41? How many is it now?
43.
43.
So, they're probably going to win, 48 games?
Sure.
I have legitimately no idea how they did it. I don't know.
A good start, right? After going 0-2, a good start.
Yes. But it feels like the start, let's give them to, I don't know, mid-December. Because, they lost to, the Kings and Pelicans on, in December 18th range. So that's, 2 months of being really good. And then since then, it's been, a slog ever since. And, one of the lineups that you think is good is minus 10 on the season.
The one you think...
Josh Okogie is making this team better.
The one you think would solve all the problems is actually not great together. I was trying to look at them since the month of January. So even the month of December, what's their longest winning streak since it? I think it's four games from the 25th of Christmas to New Year's Day, where they ripped off four in a row against the Lakers, who weren't playing well that well at the time. Cleveland, Indiana, and Brooklyn. So not exactly murderer's row. They don't have a winning streak longer than four games since the end of December. That's how average they've been since December ended. And yet, they could still be the three seed.
Like, they'd
with
still
very little effort.
Yeah, they still hanging around in there. Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe that's another reason. Like, last year in the month of March, they ripped off. They had a big run. I think they might have won like 12 out of 13, something like that. So they were felt like peaking at this time last year. This year, it has just been part of a 2-month slog of being a pretty average basketball team.
Yeah, like basically in the year 2026, like they've just kind of been
treading water.
Yeah, a 500 team.
Yeah, and some.
Or at least they played like a five. They might not actually finish.
I think they're
500.
I think. I was trying to. We did the numbers this morning, and they're like 10-8 in their last 18, 6-7 since the All Star break, something like that. So pretty much what you would expect. It's been a slog. There's no real momentum. You thought you might have. Hey, you got kind of fortunate with the Amen Thompson tip in. Yeah. Great, you win that game 2 in a row. You got the Bulls coming up. That should be a win. Maybe start to build something as you face Minnesota. No, you put up a stinker in the first quarter, and then can't close it out in the fourth.
And it's like the tip-in where it's like, should you have won that game? Like, maybe. I mean,
maybe you were down big in the fourth.
You did make the comeback and then lose it in a stupid way. But yeah, it's like,
you could a coin flip and you won that one. Okay.
And then you immediately get like, hey, coin flip, it went your way. Awesome. Now you play the Bulls. Loss. Oh, okay. So whatever, like, good luck, whatever, like, good kind of, like, mojo, it's like, hey, a little found money. Won a game we, you know, maybe shouldn't have. And it's like, and now you lose
the
Bulls.
Give it right back. Yeah.
Like, there you go.
Hey, basketball guys, we know we probably shouldn't have gotten that one. Here.
Yeah.
We'll hand it right back to you in a way.
And the
coach is telling you, you disrespected the game because of how poorly you played in the first quarter.
And the choices for the fifth guy in the starting lineup is Reed Sheppard minus 10 in the minutes with the four other guys, Josh Okogie, and Tari Eason, who's not made a shot.
Whose mother's asking
like
social media
for professional
shooters to help him. Come to Houston and help him.
These are your options. Also, you know, if you would have won last night, you would have been the four seed. Just what a season.
Yeah. And
I don't know if this is like in a weird way, you're almost optimistic where you're like, this team has played this poorly.
It swings the other way
where you're like, the raw talent on this team must be so high. The fact that this team isn't in the lottery.
And that's why Ime Udoka gets killed.
Or is Ime Udoka
is he wringing the most he can out of this team, or is he the one keeping them from reaching their full potential?
They gave him four usable players and Reed Sheppard.
And he hasn't had his point guard.
And a guy who can't make a three-pointer.
Or his backup center.
Yeah. And a guy who got signed on, like, July 31st.
So that argument, no Fred, no Steven Adams, is used to defend Kevin Durant when people go after him for the team apparently underperforming.
Or just the Rockets as a whole.
Yeah. But it's not really used for Ime.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his point guard. He doesn't have a key contributor off the bench.
Yeah.
That isn't really used to defend him. It is used to protect the legacy of Kevin Durant anytime someone criticizes him.
I will say, like, you are the coach. Like, maybe figure out a workable offense now, in the first 75 games of the season.
Not without Fred or Steven Adams. Okay. Sorry, can't do that.
Yeah. It's if we can't limit turnovers with Fred VanVleet.
Or
and
offensive
if we can't
rebound.
Get a third of our misses with Steven, actually half of our misses with Steven Adams. How am I supposed to coach
that? That was a plan.
What am I supposed to
low
do?
Low turnovers,
this
dominate the offensive boards, get out in transition.
Yeah.
And force turnovers. That was a plan.
Alperen Şengün, Kevin Durant,
sorry.
And Jabari Smith and Amin Thompson. Nope. Can't make an offense out of that. Sorry.
I don't know if you've heard, we're about a half game out of the four seed. So
yeah, maybe, you know, scoreboard.
Right now you're the sixth seed. That's what the scoreboard says.
How awesome would it be to have Jokic? We got Şengün, got the same record.
Yeah, but I've seen them play against each other.
Yeah, whatever.
There, I have seen the matchup a couple times. It has not gone well.
Then who the hell are they losing to?
They haven't had Aaron Gordon. We can play this game for everybody.
Yeah, right.
Play this game. Unless you're the Spurs who destroyed a team you barely beat by a point last night in the Thunder. We'll go to break with that. We got a couple more segments to go. We'd love to have you. You're welcome to join us. 713-780-3776.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
We did some celebrity sports crossover yesterday at about this time with the Jorginho Chaperone stuff. This is just pure neighbor-on-neighbor stuff with celebrity thrown in. Sean, have you seen the Alan Ritson video, or better known as the guy who plays the TV version of Reacher?
I've seen a little bit of it. I've mostly just seen the headline, though. So I don't know anything past he was beating up his neighbor.
So if you don't know, this is a big man. If you watch, what was the Blue Mountain State?
Yes.
He played like the dopey tight end or something like that in that show. He's a giant individual. He's gotten bigger since that TV show. He's 6'3", I don't know, probably 245, 250. I don't know how big he is, but he's a big man. And he was in his neighborhood in Tennessee. And the initial video we saw was him slapping around his neighbor with punches while the neighbor was on the ground. The best thing for me is that the neighbor's English. I did not expect the neighbor to be English. The neighbor did some interviews, had the accents. Like, what are you doing in Tennessee? Limey, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Either way.
Now I'm definitely on Alan Rickton's
Yeah. But if you missed it, they have they're on bikes, and at some point an altercation began, and what we saw was just a portion where the neighbor, because he's dealing with a giant individual, is kind of cowering on the ground as Alan Richmond's giving him a couple jabs in the head. The neighbor does an interview. He's got bruises all over his face. But we also get footage from, I would assume, like a cam on Alan Richmond. So he's wearing
like
some type of
something.
GoPro,
yeah.
And you see the 4.5 minutes of this incident. So he's riding his bikes with some other people. And the neighbor jumps out in the street to stop him. So he has to hit his brakes hard, and the bike kind of just rattles and falls. And, you know, he's, rightfully upset because, hey, you jumped out in the middle of the street. You put my safety in danger. And the neighbor's like, you're riding around these streets and putting kids in danger with how fast you're riding around. So the neighbor was trying to – and we've seen this less so with a Hollywood actor beating some guy up. Well, we've seen it. Neighbors will tell someone speeding through the neighborhood, hey, calm down. This kids live here. Slow down. This was what the neighbor was saying, and you can hear it in the clip. You're driving too fast. There are kids here. You're going to hit one of them. It's going to be bad. Richen didn't agree, clearly, because once the neighbor said it and then didn't get out of the way, he kind of tossed him aside one time and kept going, but the neighbor wasn't done. He kept standing in his path because he wasn't going to let him ride his bike because he felt he was going too fast. So that's when we saw the aftermath, the very end of the altercation, where he's just getting slapped around. If Alan Ritson is driving around too fast in the neighborhood, I get the guy saying, hey, man, we got kids here. I don't know if I would have been the guy to challenge the 6'3", 260-pound, muscle-bound dude. At some point, you're like, you know what? I said my piece.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you beat me. I'm not getting beat up. No. The tail of the tape suggests this wasn't going to go well for this guy, although the guy looks pretty big himself, but not bigger than Reacher.
And he is an actor, but like nowadays, they do put the actors through some sort
he
of
was
training.
We just saw him in that war movie he was in.
War Machine, yeah. Like they put him through some, like he probably knows how to like throw a punch pretty well.
His job is to be big and strong and hit people, at least fake hit people on television.
I think there's a value in, as a neighbor, just having something to complain about. And you don't need to search out the solution, because you might search out the solution and get beat up by Reacher. I think it would have been better for this English man's life living in Tennessee to just constantly, like, you know, whatever.
Go online.
Walk out, pushes garbage can out to the driveway, have Alan Richman or Rickson? Have Jack Reacher zoom past him in his motorcycle, and then goes back inside his house to his wife and is like, man, Jack Reacher really needs to cool down. There's kids that live in this neighborhood, and talk to his other neighbor, his next door neighbors about it. That he would have been happy. What he definitely would have been is punched in the face by Jack Reacher multiple times and on like TMZ. Like I think that he, for the betterment of his own life, he should have just complained about it to the people in his life forever and never confronted Jack Reacher about this.
So I don't know if it's real, because you never know what's real online. But there's a person who points a speed gun at people driving through areas.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And if they drive too fast, he'll throw like sloppy food at them.
Yeah, like a banana or something.
A banana, whatever, that makes a mess on their windshield. Sometimes they'll stop. Sometimes they keep going. If you're trying to mess with Jack Reacher in any way, shape, or form,
no.
I wouldn't throw food, but I would have a speed gun. That's what you, if this is your thing, if you think he's going too fast, I don't know how much a speed gun costs, that's the thing. But if you point the speed gun at him as he's driving through and go, look, film it, shame him, embarrass him, you don't get punched in the face, but you make your point that TV star or streaming network star Jack Reacher, Alan Rickson, is speeding through a neighborhood with kids at a high rate of speed, and he's dangerous. Now, the cherry on top for me is, because Rickson, however you say it, had the camera on him, you could see the speed of the bike.
Oh, yeah. How fast was he going?
I don't know if he slowed down because of, but you saw him drive away, he was going in the 20s. He wasn't going that fast.
Okay. So, like, a key part of this is you have to be right.
Yeah.
You have to be in the right as the neighbor. And
yeah.
If this guy actually is, like, I could, now I can totally see. Like, the bike is probably just loud. And
it is, yeah, it's going to be loud.
And he's like,
and he's got buddies he drives with. So there are like two other guys in bikes very similar.
Okay,
with,
definitely do not confront these people. I don't know.
Like, the other two guys did not get involved, but you never know if they would have got involved.
Yeah, that
you
it
just
was
think it jumped.
That was the second best case scenario for
and
him.
Only one guy punched him?
that zero guy.
Oh, zero guys. Yeah, zero guys is the best case, but
that
second
his buddies
best.
Didn't get. The best case would be the buddies de-escalate the situation
and
in
don't
some
keep
way.
From happening.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
This was the second best. There's way more bad options of now four guys are
deciding to
now,
pummel
now
you.
Now Jack Reacher and his friends are beating you up.
Yeah. Jack Reacher is enough, but the rest of his guys. And
nobody,
you got,
he works alone, at least in the TV show. He's going from town to town alone.
Yeah, he goes from town to town alone, but he winds
befriends
up with good
yeah.
people, and they work together to stop whatever yeah. villainy is going on in the town. This case, he was the problem. That guy thought he was Jack Reacher.
Yeah, that guy thought he was going to Reacher.
Yeah, instead, he got reached by Reacher.
Up, of course.
Yeah, that's
it's
how it
Jack
goes.
Reacher.
Someone very funnily said online, look, that's a giant man going from, in, as far as the TV show, going from town to town. Why do people keep challenging him? The entire series, every season, there's guys who should know better than to challenge this guy getting in the fights, getting beat up. Why would you try to fight him? She goes, well, it happens in real life, so I can't keep saying it's unrealistic if it's going to happen in real life, too.
Yeah, no. I think everyone in their own life should just like, is this worth actually confronting and maybe causing, you know, creating a change or getting punched in the face? Or is it just better? Is this low stakes enough for me just to be like, you know, I need something to complain to my wife about. So, yeah, we need to come together as a family unit as far as anti-Reacher and his loud-ass bike that's driving through our neighborhood. I don't need to actually, you know, try to slow down Reacher.
So far, there's no evidence from that, at least the video that was provided, that he was driving too fast. And or putting kids in danger. Because there are no kids on the street.
No, that's a grown-ass man. That was the guy who got in his way.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like, petition to get like a speed bump put in, like, you know, like something like,
just to slow, make it less fun for Richard and his buddies to drive through.
There's so many ways to kind of attack this without getting punched in the face by Jack Reacher. Like, there's so many ways.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an HOA in that neighborhood, but you could have gone that route. You could have done something, but instead, Good Samaritan, vigilante, whatever he wanted to be. You get beat up. Poor decision.
He went about it wrong.
Yeah.
And also might not be in the right.
he might be wrong
on everything.
And got beat up. If it's Tom Cruise as Reacher, he's a small man. Maybe you got a shot. But yeah, not Alan Rickson.
I don't want Scientology on me. That's the thing.
It's true.
Cruise.
I don't see Tom Cruise getting into money street fights. Yeah. You don't see it.
He's got homies to do that.
Yeah.
He's got an entire apparatus to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate Alan Rickson leaning into the character.
I kind of thought this might be viral marketing.
It could
I'll
be
honest.
But I don't know when season 3 or 4 is coming out.
Yeah.
This could be that.
This feels like a, you know, especially because it seems like Alan Rickman's in the right, where it's like, all right, hey, listen, he lives what he portrays on screen, you know?
So coming up for him, another season of Reacher. We just saw him in that War Machine movie. He's also got a Navy SEAL movie coming up. It's just bad choices for that neighbor all around.
Yeah, let me fight him.
Yeah, this is the one guy you leave alone. He's like, training to beat you up.
Yeah, I know he's not actually a Navy SEAL and not actually Jack Reacher. But again, I've seen the videos of Keanu Reeves, like, going through guns and stuff. Like, for whatever reason now, like, I guess for realism, they, like, train these actors to actually, like, fight and shoot guns and stuff.
It's a bad choice.
Yeah, like, I would need Alan Rickman to, like, have 5 years where he's just playing, like, a guy in a suit before I'm like, you know what, maybe I can fight him.
If Timothy Chalamet ever has a dirt bike or whatever.
And I mean, he probably has learned knife fighting because of Dune.
Like, yeah, you make a point.
Like,
that's
like
another
all these
guy.
Guys getting trained.
That's right. Find a guy who does comedies.
Yeah, let me go.
What's Seth Rogen trained to do? Maybe that's the guy you challenge if he's too loud in your neighborhood.
Who's the guy? Eddie Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne. I'm going after you.
The Danish girl.
I don't think he's ever been. I don't think he's ever been a special ops guy. He's just been running around with magic.
He's had to have been in a period piece, like war movie before, but he probably didn't get trained to do anything.
Yeah,
he was just acting because he's British.
Steven Spielberg. Or no, Stephen Hawking. That's right? Did he play Stephen Hawking?
Maybe. I'll look at his IMDb during the break. We'll go to break with that. Anyone, don't challenge an actor who was a professional I beat guys up guy in a role. Don't do
also
that.
Also 6'4".
Yeah, those are all reasons to leave him alone and just complain to whoever you need to complain to if his bike's too loud. We'll go to break with that. One more segment to go. Just doing PSAs out here. Don't berate 11-year-old girls. You never know how famous they'll be. And don't challenge guys.
Both ends of the spectrum.
I think what we know is you just never know. And don't take a chance is what we're saying here. All right, we will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Feel the beauty, feel the peace at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Oh, and that's a hard foul. Let's listen for the call on the floor.
The taxpayer owes back taxes. Penalties and interest are assessed and wage garnishments to begin immediately.
The IRS never misses that call. I wonder if they will challenge it.
The call is under review.
Priority Tax Relief has been called in for a review. Priority is the best in the business at negotiating your tax debt and has even eliminated the debt for some clients. Priority Tax Relief is saving their clients millions of dollars every month.
After a careful review from Priority Tax Relief, the debt has been eliminated. No foul on the play.
Whoa, that completely changes the game, folks.
If you owe more than $5,000, call Priority Tax Relief, and in minutes, they'll review your case for free with a direct line to the IRS to see if you qualify for life-changing relief. No more worrying about wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts. Call Priority Tax Relief today at 800-584-7531. That's 800-584-7531.
We make your tax relief our priority.
Call now.
My Perfect Day has sand, salt water, and friends.
but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So we did look up the IMDb for Eddie Redmayne. Sure, he was in Day of the Jackal, or it still is. That season's going to come back, or he said show will come back for season 2. But there's not a lot of hand-to-hand in that. He's just carrying a gun around. So as long as he doesn't have that, if you want to challenge him, you might be okay.
Yeah.
Because the rest of his IMDb suggests foo-foo actor. A lot of dramatic roles.
He was in Les Mis.
Yeah,
right?
That don't include actions. So sorry,
Eddie Redmayne, coming for you.
Yeah, man, don't bring your loud ass mic in my neighborhood, Eddie Redmayne, or we're gonna have a problem.
Yeah. Although, do you see the story with the cornhole player? The inspirational.
Yeah, I don't know how to really talk about that without it going to a spot where we get in trouble.
I'm just gonna say, be careful who you pick fights with.
True, you never know. It's another example of you never know.
That guy.
You don't know that story. He has been charged.
He's
a quadriplegic, and he was certainly highlighted by ESPN and other websites for overcoming what he had to overcome to become a champion cornhole player. And a couple years later, he's charged with murder. People are like, how? Well, there is a video loading a weapon and firing it. Now, it takes longer than... Then, of course, people who do have their arms.
Then Jack Reacher.
Yeah, but he is still capable. Yeah. So maybe that's how.
So just PSA, be careful.
That's all.
If that guy can use a gun,
anyone
a lot of people can use a gun.
Just don't challenge people. Don't challenge people you don't know to fights. Could always end poorly. Let's get to Dupree. He wants to talk Steelers before we go. What's up, Dupree?
Oh, hey, what's up, Dale? Appreciate the show. Appreciate the call. It's actually depressed because that's how I'm feeling about my freaking Steelers,
okay,
man.
Okay, go ahead.
What are we doing? What are we doing? I've been a lifelong fan, and it's probably the first time I could say that it feels like we have equal odds of winning the Super Bowl or ending up with the number one pick in the draft. I'm jealous of you because the Dolphins took Malik Willis from just under our nose. I've been watching him for 2 years, praying for him to become a Steeler eventually. But nah, instead, we're going to go with 43-year-old Aaron Rodgers and Will Howard. Had you told me 3 years ago that Aaron Rodgers, we'd be waiting on him again, I would have laughed at you and told you you were a liar. So to be doing it, watching my franchise do it, is totally depressing. We don't look at any young quarterbacks with starting experience. I'm all in on Davis Mills, Malik Willis, Tanner McKee, Spencer Rattler, whoever. But no, we're set that it either has to be Aaron Rodgers or Will Howard. That's insane to me. I understand we have to let go of Mike T, one of my favorite coaches, but it was time. But to bring in Mike McCarthy, that's almost like at least a lateral move, probably going backwards, because I've never seen Mike McCarthy operate without an all-pro quarterback. So it just feels like we are definitely settling, and I would be amazed if we somehow make the playoffs, even finish with a winning record this year. Let's hear y'all's thoughts on it.
Appreciate it. So as a Steeler fan, however you felt about Mike Tomlin, the general Steeler fan, we know how depressed feels about it. about him, loved him. There is a thought of something new. It's one of the best things if you are a fan of a team who is underperforming. Fire the coach because it breeds hope. I don't believe that Mike McCarthy hiring made people feel great about the future for the Steelers. You are stuck in the middle because you are a fan of a team who refuses to do what you would like them to do. Beyond just going and getting a young quarterback, being bad to be in a position to draft one. That's not their MO. There are teams across sports who do that. The Miami Heat do that. That's why they've been a middling franchise, because they've drafted well enough to be okay, but they have never been in a spot since really I guess Michael Beasley, where they could draft a prospect that could change your franchise's future. Of course, you do free agency, you get LeBron James, you do stuff like that. That's what the Steelers would love to do. But quarterbacks, no equivalent of LeBron James is on the market, so you have to go with Aaron Rodgers, who's more like, I don't know, Julius Randle, an old Julius Randle.
Or it's like signing LeBron now.
Yeah, signing this version of LeBron.
Signing LeBron.
Yeah, that's actually a better comp. Signing this version of LeBron. It's not changing the fortunes of your franchise. You do get a good player. And Aaron Rodgers was fine. And I think you should kind of get used to the fact that he's going to be back. The Will Howard stuff. Can Mike McCarthy groom Will Howard into being anything? I would doubt it. I did not put that together that Mike McCarthy has been able to coach big-time quarterbacks his entire career. I remember, of course, Aaron Rodgers, and then Dak was waiting right there for him. So he's never had to groom a guy, unless you want to give him credit for Aaron Rodgers. So good luck, depressed. You're firmly in the middle, and your franchise would rather have that happen than sink to the bottom and put themselves in the spot where they could draft a quarterback. They're not going to trade anyone to be bad or acquire draft picks. It's not who they are. That's why Michael Pittman is on your team. And DK Metcalf, too. You made trades to get receivers. Do you have anyone to throw him the football? Hey, look, you got Rico Dowdle. So
really are building a very good 8-win team.
Yeah, 8-9 wins. That's who they would rather be that than awful. And that's how it's going to go unless you luck into a quarterback somehow, some way. We're done. Rich Eisen is up next. Since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
That McCarthy. Happened earlier.
Oh. Mike McCarthy.
Well, they went from one Mike to another.
Yeah.
And Michael Carroll flipped over John a couple hours ago.
Yeah, we saw it happen.
Yeah, we're done. We'll be back tomorrow.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.